Globally, humans are facing massive problems that are widely ignored by governments and the media.
Like personal space invaders.
I've had it with these couples that sit on the same side of the booth.
Yak mouths.
Stupid stick figure bumper stickers.
Almond milk. You cannot milk an almond.
Hi, I'm Jennifer.
And I'm Angie.
We call her Pumps, and we are the hosts of I've Had It. Pumps, tell the listener where they can find us.
Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nailed it.
See you next Tuesday.
Forever Dog.
Race Chaser. Woo-hoo. Race Chaser. Yeehaw. Race Chaser. Woo-hoo. Race Chaser. Yeehaw.
Shall I remove this glove?
Ooh, the gloves are off.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, and welcome back to Race Chaser, a podcast dedicated to the discussion, dissection,
and dissemination
of every single episode of RuPaul's Drag Race, starting from the very beginning.
This is the beginning.
My name's Alaska. What's yours?
I'm Willem.
Welcome
to season 13.
Oh my gosh.
Oh yes.
Now everyone at home, say it with me. Bring in the Rue year. This is an unofficial challenge that has taken place.
Oh, what is it? Tell me more.
It's Rosé in all the promos leading up to season 13. Mm-hmm. She says ring in the Rue year, but her voice just sits so high. She's like belting this very high. Ring in the Rue year.
She can project.
It's an enjoyable, joyful moment. We have a new season of Drag Racers.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage, sisters 324 through 337. Entering first year, first girl, Candeliza Musington's Miss Candy Muse, a.k.a. the Brooklyn Doll.
That's right. From girl. The hood to Hollywood.
She did it, and she's all in denim.
She doesn't boombox, honey. She is the boom boom box. Okay, so don't get it twisted. This is a very, dare I say, it's a very you outfit to me.
Honey. And then as she was walking in, she also said, feels correct. I was like, oh, I love this girl. You know?
Yup. She's a girl. Then she looked at the dress forms and said, ooh, we got some big 20. Girls this season.
Yeah, she looked fly. I love denim. You know that. And like a little blonde rootin' wig. For sure.
So gorgeous. Very
body,
beautiful, bronzed. And her outfit completely tells us who she is. And she's also comfortable and she's herself. And that's what you want to do walking into the workroom. I think she's an excellent choice for first girl in.
Yeah.
Definitely.
She won't get eaten alive by the cameras or the lights. Like, she's used to it. Like, she was our AAA girl when we kicked Courtney out of the group.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Next in the room, cluck cluck.
Any
cluck and bucking.
Do we have any feather allergies?
Excuse me, there is someone with a feather allergy on this flight. Uh-oh. As a result, we will not be serving chicken feather boas today during the meal.
Joey J comes in the room.
She's looking for something in red. Do you know that Lori Morgan song? And then the girl does four different reveals. It's looking for something in black, looking for something in blue, looking for something in red.
That's sickening.
Short hair gig, Lori Morgan. Yeah.
What a good act.
Joey's got even beaded fringe on the back of his little bootlet, chaplet, spatlet thing. So I love that he's got all kinds of every red. And, you know, I love a red feather shoulder. I've done that.
She enters and says the words filler queen. Now, what does that mean?
I don't know. She
Can
doesn't
we get
look
her
like,
on.
We should ask.
That would work if, like, she was pumped
she looked
for
like
Phil.
Detox. Yeah.
Right. Like, that would be like, oh, I get, like, she's talking about filler. Which maybe, you know, I'm a trained expert, so maybe she has had a light round of filler.
Okay.
As most of the girls do these days. But it's not...
Light?
But I don't look at her and think, oh my gosh, she's pumped, you know?
Is she saying right from the bat, let me get to the middle and I'm good?
Maybe. And
like,
I...
Better... filler is better than first out, right? If you, you're either first, filler, or first out. The three people that get remembered.
See, I don't agree with the notion of if you're gone in the middle, you're a filler queen.
Technically are. That's the filler.
It's between
loser and winner.
There are people who have made really great strides in the world of drag, wherever they've landed, whether they've been first
PV.
Or second or whatever. PV?
Puerto Vallarta? Yeah, I'm saying some girls go to Puerto Vallarta.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right. Well, I don't know what it means.
We
but
got that.
Joey does... Dipper's
I like
her,
though. She's my friend.
Dipper's like, we want the drama this season. We're not cutting anything,
fine, you
whores say.
Keep it.
We're not cutting anything this year.
Sweep
no more editing. Sweeps week. Joey does have a full gig, though. She works for a software company.
I know. She worked at Roscoe's, too. Or not Roscoe's.
Oh.
Rocco's, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
She was one of the Rockettes. I might
work.
Be lying. I speak out the side of my mouth a lot. The alarm goes off and the girls are gagged because it's like, why are we getting a video message?
Yes.
Lights are flashing.
And this starts the narrative of we're really seeing the shock and surprise on these queens' faces.
Mm-hmm. Well, limited.
Right.
With limited movement.
RuPaul says, welcome, my queens. What? You weren't expecting to see me so soon? Well, I hope you like surprises, because I've got a big one, and it's right around the corner. Racers, please report to the main stage. Like, now. The palpable look of shock on their face and fear.
Yeah.
That is an element of this new twist that I did find exciting, is that it really put the girls off kilter, and we get to, that's enjoyable as a viewer.
I mean, what
extent.
It's doing is it's taking the best part of each episode, which is the lip sync and then the trauma porn, which follows it, and then repeating it six times. And they gave it to us, and God damn it, wow, you turned it. This is one of the best episodes ever. It gives the viewer everything we want. Now, if next season they don't do this, we'll be like, you know, they're upping the ante so much and giving us more things to talk about. So snaps to the queens at wow. Oh, God, this is Margiela, and I just snapped in it.
We can talk about this maybe later, but...
You want to take the gloves off, huh?
They can't do it next year because it won't be a surprise to the contestants. The reason this works is because we're coming out of a pandemic. It's like the whole experience is fresh. They're coming at it with this completely new twist that's really putting the girls on their feet. And you even see it in the interview, which we'll get to in a second. First of all, we get RuPaul walking down the runway in the first, you know, 5 minutes of the show.
In a gown we saw on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, did she wear this with Chad or what?
Mm-hmm. Yes, she
I'm
did.
Chad. Yes, I love this gown. The hair is ridiculous. It's so big. It's a wall.
It is a wonder wall of hair. Mm-hmm. And Michelle.
After all, it's my wonder wall.
Michelle looks like a 28-year-old My Cousin Vinny, Marissa Tomei. She's looking gorgeous right now.
Really gorgeous.
And she says she's the head teller at RuPaul's Savings and Loan Bank.
What the fuck is it? Did the glass panels really do anything? Look, I'm all about safety. I know that they went through all the precautions.
They were on lockdown.
Yes. I know that everyone was getting tested, but that's the reason why I'm like, everybody's in this bubble. Why the fuck are there useless panels of glass?
Well, there is something that has changed. The new tagline is racers, start your engines, may the best drag queen win.
That's right.
So not drag performer. What about drag kings? Now we have something new to be mad about. Until that changes.
Up in arms.
No,
honey.
We're kidding. Congratulations, wow.
No, yeah, that's major. It's one of the, you know, this show has always evolved and changed, and the language and the catchphrases have always been changing. So this is another step toward, you know, a little bit more inclusivity, and I'm all here for it. I like it.
Yeah.
We get the girls' interviews, and this is really a lot of girls, you know, everyone sort of plans what they'll say and what they'll do. But in this instance, this is a completely new category, a new thing. So we're really getting to know them on their toes right
this
now.
This is presentation.
Completely.
She's given it. She's just given it a little mini page, of them. And she's we love it. It's all about make an impression, make Rue smile a little bit, and then like hit the number and hit it hard. Who would have gotten your dollar in the first lip sync? I would have given it to Candy if I had a dollar.
Well, Candy definitely won interview. I mean, she was very natural, very relaxed, very herself. Joey J got a laugh with clucking and bucking, and mm-hmm. so she said it again, and then the judges were like, that's enough. That's enough, bitch. Like, how dare you use the same bit twice? No comedian has ever done that. Okay, so I think Candy took it for this one. Just her pressing that button on that boombox alone.
The giggle from the get. Like, she brings
Diva.
It.
Yeah.
Diva.
Not new. Oh, not
Diva.
Not new at all.
No, that's funny. That's ding dong. That's the shit. That's the shit that we like to see.
And if you've ever wanted to see a heartbreak beautifully, look at Joey J's face. Like when they tell him to go. It's so sad. It's like that. And you get that from all these girls real quick. Like that moment of, oh my God, that was it. And let me try to make a little exit. Like the it's like a desperation kind of thing. And it's like gorgeous. Joey's just like, his heart's breaking and she's still smiling and she still has it together.
Yeah.
She doesn't try to throw in a dumb catchphrase.
Right.
Yeah.
And I will say it was quits it.
Yeah.
I will say it was a close lip sync too, because Joey J, I mean, is a great performer. I've seen her perform before this, and she's really electrifying and is very like eloquent with her movements. And so it was very close. So we see this horrifying moment of Jesus Christ, is that really the end of the road? And then it starts all over again. The cycle the shame cycle continues. Of trauma, the cycle of pain. I don't know.
Did you clock that RuPaul watching those chicken feathers sort of float down to the stage? They like left that shot of her in the
her
end,
gaze.
Just being like,
she said they're gonna have to take time to sweep the floor, and that means I'm in drag longer. Get it together.
I'm allergic to all feather except ostrich.
Well, the next queen to walk in is Denali Fox, and she says, let me, just like Britney in her animated music video, let me break the ice.
She is a professional ice skater. She's from Chicago, and I don't know how she's walking on that, like usually painted floor, like in those blades.
Yeah.
Is that like all core? Cause you got to keep your legs kind of like, right? With blades.
She's very skillful. She never stumbles even once. And you know, they'd show it if she did. She is on those blades. Good.
Did you see her Pussycat Dolls thing?
No, was it her? Wait, it was her on the ice?
Girl, ice dancing, ice flipping, ice bucking. She melted that ice.
When I tell you the level of talent.
These girls, these double digit season girls, the Aquarias, the Asias, the Denalis, like, bitch, ice flipping, bitch. That's like some sort of last airbender bullshit. She could literally do that stuff, flipping through the air, shooting ice at people.
And she's from Alaska, so... bonus points.
Ding dong.
Ding dong. And then to join Denali is Lala Ri. And she says, oh, what can you, oh, what you say, LaLaurie is here to slay.
Mm-hmm. Classy and sassy. Her outfit is a reference to Beyonce for the On the Run tour outfit. And I like that she showed a face mask as fashion because it's going to be a reality for us for, you know, a year or two for the gigs at least.
Yeah, definitely. I love that.
Which is why I want you all to focus on a strong eye this year with lots of glitter and lashes.
Oh, yeah. It's all about eye.
Mm-hmm. All eye.
Denali is not a huge fan of Lala's outfit and says so in the confessional.
She does.
She says, I was just expecting a little bit more. Shade noise. Again, they are both shocked and appalled that RuPaul's message is coming through. The competition has already started.
And now Michelle starts talking on the runway, and she's in charge of outfit criticism. And she's like, what about this outfit? What are you wearing? How does this describe you? You know, being that girl. And Ross says, just when I thought the show couldn't get any gayer, we've now got figure skating.
That's tea.
I hope we have a figure skating challenge now.
That would be really amazing, and I bet she's a shoo-in to win.
Kim Petras as a judge doing icy.
Girl, right?
icy.
And can we give props to Denali's fucking long-ass hair braid that she is whipping and flipping for all it's worth?
My favorite part of this lip sync is when you're not aware of your space, how long the braid is, and you know there's a girl behind you and you don't care, you're doing it anyway. Like, that's the other girl's way. That's the other girl's job to stay out of the way of the swinging hair if it's already swinging when you're walking. But I was like, ooh, girl, you're going to whip her in the eye. And there's nothing funnier than a girl getting her lash whipped off.
Girl, when we can't skip over LaLaurie's interview portion. They ask her, do you think you can beat Denali in a lip sync? And she says, yes. Which is the right answer. These are really hard questions they're asking the girls, and we'll get to some more. But like, that's hard. You don't want to be insulting, but she was very, honestly, she was like, Yes, I can. The lip sync song is a repeat. It's When I Grow Up by the Pussycat Dolls.
Who did it first?
Can you name it? Ding, 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 ding. Let me give you a hint. She was dressed like a pin-curled baby doll girl and was holding a teddy bear. That's right. She was...
Coco Montrese versus Alyssa Edwards. Yes!
Oh, we do have to take a break, don't we?
Coco.
We're just steamrolling. We're so excited. It's a new season.
The promise of a new day. Promise of a new pod.
We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Squarespace.
Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online.
Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content to time, all in one place, all on your terms.
We all know everything is online these days, and it's important for your business to stand out. And that's why Squarespace is really important. We use it for Drag Queen of the Year, and it was great success. Great success.
I was marveling at the website's capabilities and the ease of use for each customer.
Well, the thing is, it was really easy, and it ended up looking really nice. So I love Squarespace.
People say the same thing about me. So start a completely personalized website with the new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint. You can choose from professionally curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, tailored to your brand or business, whatever kind of business y'all ladies are in.
optimized for every device.
And then you can easily launch your website and get discovered fast with integrated optimized SEO tools, so you show up more often to more people and grow the way you want.
And Squarespace makes it super easy to sell your products on an online store. Whether you sell physical, digital, or service products, Squarespace has the tools you need.
Plus, you can connect major social and multimedia accounts to your website in just a few clicks, as icons, direct links, or embedded feeds. And sellers can also sync their product catalog directly with Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Google to reach more customers and reduce the steps for a purchase.
They've really thought of it all.
You know they have. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/drag.
Drag.
To save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
That's squarespace.com/drag to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Mama... Okay, so what they do is they send us some credits so we can go on their website and buy some items. I bought this pullover, like this sweatshirt, and now it's like my favorite thing to wear. I literally wear it all the time. It's like so cute.
I've been wearing Quince at least a couple times a week because these basics are so comfortable and I love them. I was just like, that goes with everything. Let's wear it.
Exactly.
There's 100% Mongolian cashmere sweater from $50, washable silk tops and dresses, organic cotton sweaters, and 14 karat gold jewelry.
And the best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
Now, Quince offers a range of high-quality items at prices within reach. And Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/drag.
Drag.
For free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/drag and get free shipping and 365-day return.
quince.com/drag.
Drag.
We are back, and Divas... You were talking about the spatial awareness with the whipping of the hair, but you really have to have some spatial awareness when you have sharp blades on your feet and you're doing flips.
You have leg weapons.
I was scared. There was a moment where she was like, she did like a cartwheel and it was like, yeah, you're far enough away from Lala, but that's still too close.
What would you rather have, an ice skate wound or Mimi pick you up on the runway?
I would rather have Mimi pick me up.
At least she's a sister.
I don't think I would die from it.
Less blood, for sure.
It was scary. I was scared. Maybe they were dull blades, but still, they're sticking in the floor. I was scared.
Well, Joey has some company back in the lounge after the pork chop loading dock. Sorry, not the lounge. This is not a lounge. Because Denali hits it back there. She's devastated. And she says...
Hold on. Tweet alert. I watched it and I had to rewind to hear what she said because she was like, you can understand the confusion getting the pork chop because you're like, am I really getting eliminated? And so she sort of like half delivered a like pithy catchphrase and like they didn't even have the lights on. She was just like, feeling icy, feeling spicy. And then left. And I had God to rewind bless. It to even hear what she said. But I tweeted, feeling icy, feeling spicy. And I got over 2,000 likes on it. So ooh. I thank you, Denali. Over 1,000 is, I consider, a successful tweet.
Thank you.
So 2,000, very good. Thank you, Denali Fox. And you're from Alaska. And you can ice skate. So God bless you. Thank you for that.
What the fuck is going on this day here?
On this good day. So we get a little hint of what's to come with the pork chop loading dock.
LA to the floor with this next girl.
Los Angeles to the floor.
Simone. And she just walks in a breath of like Malibu, like Barbie air, just gorgeous. Yeah. This like Angie Everhart colored hair, a Polaroid dress, just body beautiful, supple, just gleaming. Everything's so right.
Don't let the smooth taste fool you, baby.
So
she
good.
She really is exquisite to behold.
Referencing, I mean, but making it new. Like, everything's perfect. Like, she came prepared, this package. She's going to have a package, honey.
I believe it was Giselle Bundchen
in
the
2004
GQ magazine.
GQ America and Italia.
Right. The Polaroid dress. Mm-hmm. She looks absolutely lovely.
But, and, I mean, so crass just to put your picture all over something and wear it on Drag Race. Like, girl, who does that?
My boat is pretty. Yeah. I love my boat. I'm drunk on Malibu. It's in this water bottle.
She looks amazing, and she is joined by Tamisha Iman. Holla at me. I know you know me. Holla at me. I know you know me. Tamisha is here.
I love that. You know, that's one of those catchphrases that you use on a mic, and it gets the whole crowd to go, holla at me. I know you know me. I know you know me. Yes.
Mm-hmm. It gets the room going, and when the crew isn't allowed to talk back at you, it's just one loud Rudy clap. But she looks beautiful. She's got a red power suit on and tits.
I really loved her. It was like the sheer like netting that was over the cleavage.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. And those shoulder pads are working double overtime.
Her shoulders seemed very pointed right now.
Yes. They are working double time and a half. They are not, like, they are getting holiday pay, those shoulder pads. They are working.
Holiday night pay. So she is a legacy to the show, too, because she's the mother of the Iman dynasty. So does that mean Mercedes Iman Diamond is related?
That's not clear.
Can we get a blood test or a spit test?
I think we'll have to ask our fact checkers.
Yeah,
but we do know
we'll ask their hair
is,
supplier to see if they're related.
We do know she is the mother of Tandy Iman Dupree.
who is drag queen of legend who fell out of the ceiling into a split dressed as Wonder Woman singing I Need a Hero. That's the Wonder Woman 1984 that I want to see. I will tell my children that's Wonder Woman 1984.
Who's that? Wonder Woman, tip her.
That's Gal
give it to
Gadot.
Me and I'll give it to her.
That's Tandy Iman Dupree, Gal Gadot, darling. So the divas chat with the judges a little bit. Tamisha has been doing drag for, count them, 30 years. Was you even born?
That's 1990.
Yeah.
Damn.
And she also shares her story that she was cast on season 12, and 2 days after she got the official call, she found out she had stage 3 colon cancer. And she had to go through this entire journey of chemo and her treatment. She couldn't walk. And now within a year, she has gotten to a point where she's able to come and compete. And that is really fucking inspiring and really fucking commendable.
Deep salute of the week. And in those heels, she wasn't in some little, like, I'm going to step around in a little baby heel and
no,
like
madam.
be low heel energy on the first day. Mm-mm. She did that. She looked sickening. I was very here for it. This lip sync, the Pleasure Principle, she is going the whole time. She's doing the one and two and she's doing the ands, as you would say, for sure. She's giving
the
it.
Andas.
And Simone just gives the actual Pleasure Principle with her body and everything. And she's doing it right for me. If I had a dollar, it's going to Simone.
This is the thing. Like, this is one of those lip syncs. It was also very close. The thing that put Simone over the edge was she brought a humor element into it. She knew those little idiosyncratic beats of the song that are funny and weird, and she put those out front and center, and that's why she took it. And then Tamisha goes back to the pork chop loading dock, and we get to see a little bit more of this sort of loading dock limbo kind of purgatory hellscape.
Tamisha gives some great interviews saying they're just here to so we'll get all in one shuttle, and she said the lady said go home. And Tamisha already has sneakers,
she has
t-shirts, commemorative Franklin Mint plates, grills. Tamisha's doing
sandals.
Sandals.
She has merchandise with her image and her catchphrase already emblazoned upon them. I'm going to go ahead and get some. I might get the shoes.
There's, I want a doormat. I want a doormat with Tamisha on it that says, the lady said go home. Please, Tamisha. If anyone knows Tamisha, give her that idea because I will be the first customer. I want one, bitch.
Such a good idea.
Yeah, but she sits down in the pork chop loading dock, and we are back to the workroom for another entry from Los Angeles. It's Gottmik.
Wow. And Gottmik says, time to crash the system. Also available on t-shirts now, and system is spelled C-I-S-T-M.
He says her drag is inspired by the high fashion and Picasso paintings, and that she's a campy, spooky artistry clown thing.
Right.
Yeah. And then she goes on to state that she's a trans man who does drag and also a celebrity makeup artist who has painted so many, 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 many celebrities. And they show all of them looking stunning. Paris, Heidi, all of them. She was the makeup artist for Heidi's drag show when Heidi wanted to get in drag. He knows drag.
Absolutely. And just so we're clear, moving forward this season, the pronoun game is... But that's the point. The pronoun game is kind of jammed because Gottmik is a trans man. So out of drag, he would probably use he. In drag, we're going to say she, because we call every single person we know she. I call that lamp sitting over there she as well,
because I'm a
faggot. And we'll probably also throw in some theys as well, for good measure. So just moving forward, just so we can, all be on the same page.
Yeah, and also, messy man is gender-free. That can apply to any. That we're not saying that. We're not necessarily saying they are a man, but some. So the next queen to the floor is Utica.
Yes.
She's sickening and she sneezes.
Yes. So funny. And she gets the wacky vaudevillian music. So we know what we're getting when it comes to Utica.
Jinx 0.0 with a little bit of Thorgy. That's what the edit's trying to tell us, right?
Yes, I had the pleasure of running into Utica in Minneapolis when we went to the Golden Girls bar crawl, and she was performing in one of the, and she was the Dorothy of the day, and just was doing her ability to just stand there and give Dorothy and be hilarious. I was enamored with her then. I'm enamored with her now. I think she's really really great, and definitely the kooky girl.
Maybe if just because we love to compare the girls, if Thorgy and Ivy had a baby.
Right. Yeah. And Jinx was one of the lovers, and we weren't sure we needed a paternity test.
Definitely, for sure.
Did you see a joke in her name? I'm convinced it's a pun.
Utica?
Utica Queen?
You dick a queen, you fuck Utica a queen. Is that not a pun? I mean, she's Utica from Queen. Utica, Minnesota.
Oh, maybe.
Okay. I didn't you dig take a queen. It there.
But oh, that's a base thing to say if you're trying to get trade. You dick a queen.
I don't go for that perverse type of crude crass.
Not here. Humor. Not east of Virgil and not before one. No. Keep that in Silver Lake. They call me the Silver Lake mistake.
What
do they
have
to lip sync to?
Well, we get a great interview, and they ask, again, really difficult questions. They ask Gottmik, are you a lip-sync assassin?
And he's honest. He's like, no, but I can perform.
Right.
Like, I would... Admitting a flaw on the main stage is one of those things where, like, this is either going to go bad or good. And right. Thankfully, it went well.
Yeah, because it was honest. You know, Gottmik was able to say, you know what, I'm not the lip sync assassin, but don't worry, you will be entertained. I thought it was a good answer. And Michelle is wondering why there's a giant strawberry on Utica's head.
Yeah, and I like Utica's answer. She says that she got through her childhood allergy to strawberries, so she put one on her head.
I love that.
I love an oversized prop of any time. Like, I had that one cow bone that I chased Courtney with. Like, I love having, like, big statement pieces.
Right, yeah.
And I like that.
Yeah, I thought that was a nice moment. And RuPaul says, are you a little bit nervous?
She says, I can feel it in my nuggets.
Well, we all love nuggets. RuPaul's like, okay, hit the music.
Start the track. I don't know, just play Rumor. Which one, Stevie or Lindsay? I don't care.
Rumors by Lindsay Lohan.
This song is a bop, and I've seen it done in many drag bars. And
definitely.
This is totally a Gottmik song. So Gottmik hits the split at the end.
A fierce split, an amazing split. And can you picture a more Gottmik song than Rumors by fucking Lindsay Lohan? Oh. I can't. It's so L.A., it's so fucking Gottmik to me.
Very that. And he says very that, too.
Very that.
Which I've co-opted for very that.
Why don't we take a break, and we'll be right back with some more fucking lip syncs.
There's like two, three more. Mm-hmm. Oh, this episode's so good.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meal. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie.
Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long or night.
What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals.
These Factor meals tasted like loving from Mother's Kitchen. It was so delicious and tasted home-cooked.
It's true. These meals taste super fresh. The food is so good and so easy to prepare. I love it. I can't get enough. Factor me up, honey.
Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, and cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff. You can customize your weekly meals with flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. And if you're looking for gourmet meals, try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus.
And Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for Earth Month Meals badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals.
Head to factormeals.com/drag50 and use code
DRAG50
to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box.
That's code DRAG50 at factormeals.com/DRAG50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is still active.
Do you love anime, gaming, movies, and discovering how your favorite pop culture affects everything you do? Then join us on Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect. I'm Nick Friedman.
I'm Lee Alec Murray.
And I'm Leah President. Every week, you can listen in while we break down the latest pop culture news and dish on what new releases we can't get enough of.
Whether you love movies, I'm going to tell you all about the hopeful 4K re-release of Tron Legacy that happens.
I'm right there with you. Or music. The music in this show is absolutely incredible.
Or anime.
Yeah, and under this mask is another mask.
You can discover your new favorites right here on The Anime Effect.
Listen every Friday wherever you get your podcasts and watch full video episodes on Crunchyroll or on the Crunchyroll YouTube channel.
Oh yeah, honestly, this was the best exit. Best way to make an exit.
Yes, because Utica responded perfectly to the bizarre thing and was like, I'll get you for this, RuPaul, which was funny, but also fucking accurate, because I know if I got the pork chop, I wouldn't be all smiles, and I would probably be messy, and I would probably be really, really fucking mad.
I saw a bit of that after you got out of that fish tank, remember? And like, I was like, she is not happy with herself. Because you thought you might have been going home. I thought maybe. I was like, she couldn't do the... Oh, she couldn't perform the challenge.
I would have been messy boots and said some shit that probably I would have regretted. But these girls are all really classy. And
classy girls.
And I support class.
We got
little
another
bit
class.
Of class.
Little bit of class and up the joint is Rosé. She walks into the workroom and she has a blacked out tooth. And you get a little moment of like a ding.
It's a funny gimmick. I like that blacked out tooth moment.
It's cute.
And if you're going to have a catchphrase, it might as well just be, that's funny.
She says, doing shtick to an empty room, which Rosé isn't used to. She says she's very competitive. And then they show shots of two reality shows that she didn't win on. This is her third, so third tries a charm. She was on The Voice and America's Got Talent with Stephanie's Child, with Jan and Laguna, friends of the pod. And she says she resides at the intersection of Witt Avenue and Fashion Boulevard.
Which I think is the West Village? No, I'm just kidding.
Near Chelsea, for sure.
Those aren't real streets. Next, to be a New York girl with a New York girl, it is Olivia Lux.
Baby, get me my bag.
Honey, hand me the big purse. I just have so much stuff.
No, that's my pocketbook. Hand me the clutch.
This tiny little purse and this gorgeous outfit. I love this gown, this split down the middle pink and yellow number.
Slinky pinky and yellow with a side ponytail and a swoop-de-doop in the front. And a glove. You know she couldn't be texting in that glove.
No.
She slinks in and she says, Lux, be a lady tonight.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. That's cute.
I like I'll get you, RuPaul. That one for me. Rosé thinks that they square this out right now. They say Rosé is the old guard New York girl. Olivia is the new girl. And they set that up right from the beginning. So I predict Olivia and Rosé are going to lip sync in the future.
It's so good to see you. When was it the last time I saw you? Oh, you were a contestant.
Yeah, you came to my
newcomer
show.
Pageant. I was the host.
No, I remember you were there. Yeah, you sat in the front.
Yeah. How long have you been doing drag?
Oh.
6 months? Oh, nice.
Who did that hair? Oh, you did. You did that hair. Well, it's blonde.
But you know what? And there's sometimes when the younger generation of drag queens can be really sassy about being the younger generation of drag queens. This is not one of those moments. Olivia Lux is just like, you know what? I haven't been doing it that long, but I'm really excited to be here. I love drag. And she's fucking gorgeous.
So gorgeous. Yeah. Like a wisp blast and some chapstick.
Like, just lovely.
That smile. Totally. So they, RuPaul pops up on the screen and she says, meet them on the main stage. Pronto. Yeah. And
they are shooketh.
To the core.
And Rosé has a really good zinger with, what are you wearing, Rosé? And she says, RuPaul always says, if you want to make more money, wear a suit. And so, I don't understand that, so I wore this. That's very, that's fucking hilarious.
New York girls know how to handle themselves on the mic. They can't let a quiet moment happen because people will just like walk out or start heckling.
Right.
And Olivia says she wanted to dress like a theater curtain because she loves to incorporate live music into her drag shows, play the piano.
Right. They also, difficult questions all around, they ask Rosé, oh, do you plan to last longer than Jan in the competition?
They're giving Rosé the Milan edit, the New York theater queen, very talented, but we're going to keep knocking her down. That's
consummate
what they're doing.
To, professional.
I mean, Milan did everything right in the lip syncs. Okay, so their lip sync is X's and O's by L King, which is like a jamming song. Let's see what they do with it. There's a reveal. There's spins. There's a death drop. And the awkwardest, like, goodbye. Like, the most humble win I've ever seen by Olivia. She's like, I'm not sure what's going on. But bye, I think.
She's like, I'm sorry. what's happening? But this reaction, though, is also very authentic from Rosé because she really captures the, like, what? I don't understand what the fuck is going on here.
This isn't what I signed up for.
Right. Which is, like, that was what everybody was feeling, and Rosé really captured that for us. And this lip sync, again, this was very, very close, this lip sync.
Yeah, it could have gone either way, I thought, too. The tiny, 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 teeny nose in the RuPaul message... Raven is she's gonna need a ventilator. She's not gonna be able to breathe through that anymore, Raven. Honestly, she looks so gorgeous. RuPaul looks so right.
She looks amazing.
Everything's gorgeous.
I think from watching Holland on the chop, I think they did all the script for all the video messages for 13 and Holland at the same time, because I think this is exactly what she did in Holland.
She said, I'm up in it. I don't like drag lag. Let's just do it all today.
She said, what drag race baklava? The Balkans. Oh, I'm sorry. The Balkans.
The Balkans.
Yeah.
Honey, I'll
get
watch
them
it.
Too. Round it up. Do you think that each pair of queens thought they were really the first two queens in the competition until the pork chop loading dock moment?
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I think that
they wouldn't have known otherwise.
I think they each thought this is it. This is the beginning of a normal season, which adds to the just like completely bewilderment that happens later. How much time do you think, this is on our outline, but this is a good question. How much time do you think passed between the entrances and the main stage lip syncs? Like a few hours for each group of queens? Surely they filmed all the workroom stuff first and then the main stage stuff.
I don't think a few hours for two workroom entrances and then a company move over to a stage, which was on the same set. Not like each one probably took an hour, I'm guessing. Hour or so.
But each group of queens had to enter and then hold them until they go to the main stage, right?
Then they go straight to the main stage. Right?
Yeah.
But then they would be filming both things at the same time. You think they moved the cameras back and forth?
Yeah. It's the same set. It's like literally like they're next to each other.
I was sort of thinking
they're not
going to
have
film...
six cameras. They're going to have three cameras. Or no, they have more actually.
They have separate cameras over at the at the main stage because there's like the one that's set up in the corner.
There's
for
the
RuPaul.
Jib one. Yeah,
that doesn't move the jib, and then like the other ones.
But
I don't
the
think
guys
they
that
were
are, the guys that are remote and like and handheld. They bring the same ones that they shoot in the workroom to the stage when they're underneath us while we're lip syncing and stuff. Like there is crossover for sure. And speaking of crossover. Tina Burner's crossing right in.
Tina Burner.
All 7'6" of this fire-haired fembot. She said, didn't your parents ever teach you not to play with fire? Now let's turn it and burn it, bitches.
Yes. She is definitely one of those queens that if you were to go out any night in New York City, anywhere, you would see her performing. She's that girl.
Probably in two different spaces.
Right.
She would double dog the gig all the time.
Yeah, she's a staple of the New York drag community, most definitely.
And she might have some staples in, too, because this is not the face that I used to know.
Oh. Are you suggesting that a drag queen might have had cosmetic procedures?
I don't know if you would call it cosmetic.
We would never make such an accusation on this podcast.
A light underhaul.
Oh, my God. Kimora Hall.
Speaking of halls.
Kimora, she says the Mackie doll is finally out of her box.
Honey, dropping names. Who does that? On television?
Wow.
Trash. She looks so beautiful. This coral six-ply ostrich. It's an actual Mackie that she got fit to her body because she's sample size.
Same. It's so hard, you know. She's looking just gorgeous. And she makes sure to tell Tina it's Kimora, not Kimora. Let's get that straight right now.
She said right away. And the halls are known for giving good clavicle.
Most definitely.
She's Jada's sister.
Right. And then... y'all wanted a twist, eh? We get a third queen walking into the workroom, and it's Elliot with two T's. And her catchphrase is, I'm the queen you want to see. Elliot with two T's.
Honey, you could tell she's already got the t-shirt printed. In a long sleeve tank and a V-neck. Yeah. She pushed that phrase, and she said she's been doing drag since she was 15, and she's from Vegas, and she's...
Work.
Her outfit is being granted the shade edit because Tina says that she's wearing a windbreaker and some pants. And Kimora is being shady about the look. But there's no time for that because Rue comes up on the video screen. And this time she just says, my queens, main stage, now.
She's not fucking around. She is. No. RuPaul is not playing the radio.
She said, we are getting this before lunch, ladies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tina gives really great interview. They talk about her boy band past, which I'm sure we'll hear more about.
Love it. I hope there's a girl band challenge.
Right.
Rue tells Elliot she looks like a member of Exposé, and there's an acknowledgement of that.
Elliot says, yeah, I completely know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Because it's a boy. Elliot's worked on cruise ships.
She's a woman.
And likes to party. She's a party girl. She's Vegas. I like Elliot already. Kimora tells the judges that she's wearing a Mackie original, name dropping on the runway. And her hair is. And RuPaul says, you know, I just watched Beyond the Valley of the Dolls. And just
of course.
Hair. And, yeah. And Kimora's just, yes, just shoulders.
Yeah.
The hair is wider than Kimora is wide. It's a golden ratio. She looks so beautiful. And they talk about the family, the legacy lineage of Miss Jada Essence Hall, our current reigning.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, they are the house of shoulder and clavicle. And I have put in my application and I hope to join that house as well. Because I do have.
Currently pending. We'll see.
It's pending review.
Pending review.
They're running my background check. The lip sync song is a drag staple. I mean, all these songs are kind of drag staples.
None of them
little.
Knew the choreo, the itchy gitchy. None of them knew the ya ya nana. Nana at all.
I don't know it.
Come on, everybody, drag queens know that.
But I did watch Patti LaBelle sing this on New Year's Eve.
At the PEG Loftson Studios?
No.
Oh.
No, Patti LaBelle sang it for a New Year's Eve show.
Oh. Did she bring LaBelle back? Like all the other girls? No.
She did not, but okay. She was incandescent and amazing. And then she closed with fucking Somewhere Over the Rainbow, which, I mean, her voice it doesn't sound changed at all from when she was fucking when she first started. She's
still hitting it. So which part would you have done in this? Are you a Maya, a Pink, or a Christina?
This is the thing, and it's really a representation of what happens in the drag world, is you get a bunch of drag queens together to do Lady Marmalade, and they all think they're Christina.
Oh, no, I'm always Kim.
Oh, really?
Okay, I like to play Atari.
Okay, yes. But that's what happened. Everybody has to do all the parts. I think...
Nobody does Maya, because nobody wants to start. They're like, I'm going to take in this verse.
Like, you go ahead, babe. You go ahead.
No, yeah, no, you've got nice eyebrows in the back, right?
Yeah, you go first. But Tina does a great job, because she embodies every character. She really... Like, the other girls are her backup dancers, I'm sorry to say, but that's what... Because she's a fucking steamroller. Like, what, you know, she was in the center. They were, like, staying out of her way.
Well, you wouldn't want to be in arms if that was swinging, you know? She's...
Right.
She can knock one of them down real easy. A little Barbie Mackie doll, all shattered.
Right.
So is Bub... we're going to take a bubbly break.
Yeah, let's do that.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly it is.
With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover.
You've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore?
Something this audacious and sexy is as genre bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away.
Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
We are back, and who's the winner of the three-way lip sync?
Courtney, what do you always say? Tina's a winner.
Tina's a winner. Tina took it, and so Kimora and Elliot get the pork chop.
That's a great drag name. Tina took it.
Tina took it. Honey, I'm Tina took
Tina
it.
Tina took it.
Tina took her.
Can I do Toxic tonight? No, Tina took it.
Tina took it. Where's your front tooth? Tina took it.
Oh, no. Please, someone start doing drag in 2021 and name yourself Tina Took It, and Race Chaser will be your mother.
Yes, we will.
We'll be your mom.
We will.
Mom.
They have to put a Race Chaser emblem on every flyer they appear on. Dude, in the work, we give them numbers that they have to do, and they're
do kaleidoscope acoustic. In the workroom, the girls are drinking bubbly, and
is there feeling... booze in there?
No, it's bubbly water. That ain't boozy.
Okay.
giving drags water.
Yet another
flavored
dig.
Waters. Simone says that Tina is busted in the face but can't be in fun, so she's definitely competition. And I think that's good that, like, they're getting right out of the way that, like, just because you're campy and you may not be like some Jessica Rabbit fuck doll drag is still valid. Like Nina West, she's great drag queen, you know. Tina's a great drag queen.
Yeah, and often it works, because it's not, because people aren't intimidated by Tina being more beautiful than her, and she knows that, but she is going to, I think, perform very well in challenges, which are a huge part of the show, which is what?
What? I got something in my eye with this Margiela glove.
Why are you looking at me that way?
Where was I looking? Where? Who?
Why are you looking at me like that?
Why are you looking at me?
Why are you looking at me like that? But no, it's true.
The lady said, go home.
It is not. Drag Race is not a bit. This is very wise of Simone, because Drag Race is not and never has been a beauty contest. It never was.
That stopped season 6 when Bianca won.
just because you get a lot of Instagram likes and you're the most fucking gorgeous fuck doll on earth does not mean that that's what they're looking for at Drag Race. They don't care.
You hear that, Courtney? Keep it in Europe. We don't want it.
You trying to keep Courtney out of L.A.
She's in quarantine right now, and she's so bored that she's taken to exercising. And they bring her food to the door every 7 minutes.
7 minutes. This is, we go back to the pork chop loading dock, and I think this is where a lot of the viewers...
Are there ins and outs there?
No ins and outs, I'm sorry. Do you have a hand stamp?
Uh-uh, sorry.
That ticket will only get you well. That will not get you top shelf and no doubles.
Those are we'll call drinks. We'll call you.
This is where I think some of the viewers take a little bit of umbrage with this episode because it does start to feel a little torture-y. A little bit. Which
it's awaiting your fate in a purgatorial setting, basically, while... On seating, not even comfortable.
Right.
Give her a couch.
And they don't even get drinks in the pork chop loading dock. But this is very much, we go back to the pork chop loading dock. The girls are trying to figure out what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And then we get a message over the loudspeaker. The departure van will be arriving soon. On behalf of the judges, we want to wish you safe travels wherever your final destination may be. So that really sounds like they're going to go home now.
It's the ultimate playing with your food.
Yeah, definitely.
It's reality TV for sure. And Michelle reminds Rue, she says, if you send all those girls home, there won't be a cast. And then Rue quickly revises her statements and says, attention queens in the pork chop loading dock. You all have a chance to return to the competition. But first, you must give one of your fellow queens the chop, which is Manila and Latrice's hit song. So I'm wondering if they're coming back out to compete.
Perhaps. Only time will tell.
Only time. Who can
and
say?
Remember, no matter what happens next, please enjoy a complimentary copy of my album. You're a winner, baby. and then this, you know, the girls kind of start panicking. They're like, well, we can't vote each other off. What the fuck? Tamisha says, well, I'm the only black girl, so don't vote me off. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yes.
She called Shotgun right away. She said, I'm staying here and I'll be in the front.
Tiarella.
Yeah, work, Tamisha. So if they don't know each other, how do you think that they will vote based on, do you think they'll vote a strong girl out? Like, had nobody told Utica that, like, her wig had scooted back and not to, like, hey, girl, scoot back? Did they not give them a mirror check?
I honestly don't know how they will proceed with this, and I'm really looking forward to it. Maybe they compete in the challenge next week, and then they do some sort of voting, because it doesn't really make any sense to just... I honestly don't know. I can't even speculate, because I do not know. But it doesn't... It's very, very difficult to sit in a room of people you just met and then vote someone out. And I don't know if it's satisfying.
Well, yeah. We're going to talk about it one way or another. I didn't know there was an Untucked.
There is. We basically just get a little bit more of this, like, conjecture about what's going on.
What happened now, with Jose and Olivia?
Well, hold on.
I feel like that's going to be a story.
Before we get into that, I wonder, I mean, I have to wonder if the girls really thought, this is it. There's only going to be six of us because social distancing, yeah. COVID. So, like, maybe they were like, you know what? I'm buying it. Like, this is actually happening, which adds to the panic of the girls thinking they're actually going home. It's very possible. This is reminiscent to me of the Stanford prison experiment. Have you heard of this?
No, but I just did. I did Yua's reviews with a U. Or her bootleg opinion show. And she said a Stanford experiment too. And she tried to explain it, but I've never heard of it.
Well, basically, they take a whole bunch of people and then they call some of them prisoners and they call some of them guards. And that's it. They just tell them this is your title. And they found that the people they named the guards started to exhibit behaviors of like getting like being really aggressive and like powerful toward the people who were deemed prisoners. There's no like, it's just because we said you are the guard and you are the prisoner. They started like abusing them and treating them like shit and really getting into this vibe of like, I'm in charge of you. So this is basically setting up this dynamic of like, you are the good ones and you are the bad ones. Let's see how that turns out. You know?
Okay. It's reality TV at its finest.
And I also saw someone say, I don't watch Big Brother, but I guess they do this thing called the haves and the have-nots.
Let's call Courtney. She does.
Right. And I guess like half of
Tana
the people.
And baby.
Half of the people get like benefits. They get like the good food and the good like treatment and whatever. And the other ones have to eat like peanut butter and jelly. And then you see it just adds to this sort of like abusive dynamic that can happen among contestants. So
what do you think about Simone saying there's no trade of this season?
She definitely said that. She said that.
She said, y'all are ugly.
She said, darling, I'm looking around the room and I'm trying to find the trade and I'm not locating the trade.
The trade does not have their location on.
location services turned up.
Do you have any wild conjecture for next week's RuPaul's Drag Race?
I don't know. I thought I saw them voting with lipsticks and I guess I fully hallucinated it because I went back and I rewatched it and I even like went back and like tried to find it on the DVR. Like maybe the preview for next week was different. I'm completely insane. It doesn't happen. There is no, but how else are you going to vote? You vote by lipstick.
I saw it too. It existed. There was footage of them voting by lipstick.
You show them what they want to see.
Yes.
You saw it?
In my head, yeah, when I watched it.
Oh my god.
Oh, you watched it.
I thought I was Oh, you watched the episode?
I did. It was great.
So I don't know, but that's how you vote on Drag Racers. You pick out lipsticks, you write on them with liquid paper.
And may the best chaser sin.
I'm looking really much forward to this season. I think it's a great group of girls. We are set up for a lot of drama, a lot of excitement. And next week, they're going to be singing a song in like a girl group kind of group challenge. And I just saw a snippet of it on the preview, and it looks really, really great.
Thank you so much for joining us on Race Chaser this week. I'm Willem.
And I'm Alaska.
And we would love for you to write a review of our podcast if you like it. If you don't like it, just keep it inside. Learn how to hide your feelings and subscribe. And take a moment to leave us a rating, too.
And don't forget to follow the dolls at Willem at the Only Alaska 5000. Follow the Race Chaser account at Race Chaser Pod. And the Mom Podcast account is at Mom Podcast. And hit the Intel button.
What, Mom?
Make sure that you refresh your artwork because, honey. The promo pictures are here.
You won. We won. We won the promo.
It's time to ring in the Rue year. We look so sickening. Thank you to Sean Videla for snapping these promo pictures for us. Our pastel pinup divas.
Up do.
Yes.
Can I get a pastel pinup up do?
Can I get a pastel?
You look sickening. You look like you should be on the side of a B-52 drag bomber. Like, just classic Varga pinup girl.
I live. And you look like Lee Bowery fucking with actual pins on your pinup do.
They call me Peaches.
Honey Peaches, honey turning it, honey looks.
Thank you.
Honey mama.
It was so fun to be a pastel princess goddess. And I think we won the promo this year, honestly.
I think so too. Tell us your thoughts. And you can check out bonus content which is available now at patreon.com/Willem. It's pay to play. You choose a video you like, leave the coins on the dresser and hit the door. You can search for Race Chaser content by searching the hashtag Race Chaser. And we just really put out a very fun one. It's a Party City Rudo.
Rudo.
As well as a mini challenge reenacting untucked scenes as some of our favorite divas. So you can check that out, patreon.com/Willem.
They're lots of fun. And please subscribe to Alaska Thunderfuck's YouTube channel for more content. And email us at racechaserpodcast if you want to be shady with us or shady or show us. You could be the show us state. And please wear a mask, wash your hands, and socially distance yourself. And
that's right.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T, each other out in the world.
Hallelujah. I need to go get those Tamisha Iman shoes.
Same.
The ladies that go home.
Does it come in a low rise?
Race Chaser. Race Chaser is not endorsed by World of Wonder, Viacom, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. RuPaul's Drag Race and all names, pictures, and audio clips are registered trademarks and or copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders.
Forever.
Race Chaser with Alaskan Willem is a Forever Dog podcast.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey.
Mixed and mastered by Will Pitts.
Our theme song is Race Chaser by Alaska Thunderfuck.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true. But shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.